Have you had any like thirst messages from our listeners or anything from your posts?
Unfortunately not. I'm very upset.
Take your top off then. Come on. Get to work. Yeah, just do it. Get the tits out. That's what they show up for.
Hello and welcome to Incomplete Geeks, a gay geek podcast where we talk about all sorts of geeky things. Sometimes our knowledge is pitch perfect, other times our knowledge is a little bit
incomplete.
That's right. I'm John. That's Nick. We may be well past our 18th birthday, but we will never give up on those video games and arcades. Am I right, Nick? I'm the video game
it's
person.
Like 18th birthday. Oh, yeah. I watched the episode two. Yes, fuck.
You did, right?
Need to pay better attention. I should have watched one of those YouTube things where they show you every Easter egg, because I feel like there were a lot of them for this and I missed most of them. I feel like I should have done that. That's better prep.
I'm glad you mentioned
that.
And
then I'm stealing someone else's research.
True. Yeah, there's pros and cons. And I've decided actually that I'm going to stop watching those videos. A couple things, like I don't feel like I'm ripping anything. By the way, today, this episode, we're talking about X-Men 97. Well,
let's keep talking again. About it. Let's keep talking about X-Men 97, because we've only got a couple more weeks of it. And like
why not?
I still want to talk.
If you haven't seen it, that's okay. You can still enjoy this episode because we'll just be gushing about it, basically. X-Men 97, specifically episodes 3 and 4, or 3, 4.5. I'll get back to that. It was a bit of a...
Yeah.
A bit of a miscommunication with me and Tom. It was kind of funny. But where were we? Talking about 18th birthdays and...
So...
What?
the question I posed at the beginning of the thing, is X-Men 97 still a 10?
A 10, because it's been getting good reviews, right?
What do you think, in your opinion?
In my opinion, I...
Is it a 10?
I fucking love it. I still fucking love it. It's a 10 and a half for me. It's an 11. It's a fucking 11 for me. I love it. I think, okay, broad strokesly, it's tapping into everything that I loved about the original series. And it's just sort of improved in style, technique, message. It's got all those beats. It's got all the, We watched the Jean Grey / Madeline Pryor episode, and then we watched the Motenda, which is basically a Jubilee episode or half episode, whatever. And then we started off with the Forge and Storm thing. It's got we've got Mojo. I never expected Mojo to come into the episode. I mean, it's fucking Motendo, it's called. But like, I was like, oh yeah. As soon as he saw like the Motendo on her shelf or whatever, I was like, oh, it's fucking Mojo. Of course, obviously, duh. And I was like, great. I hate this character. I hate it. I didn't really like those episodes in the original series, but I thought, yeah, this is exactly what I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised that they did an episode about Mojo and Jubilee, and it's great. It gives her extra things to do. It sort of makes her power set seem a bit cooler than it could have been before. The actor who plays the older Jubilee is the original voice actor of Jubilee from the original series. So I was like,
I didn't realize that. And I feel stupid for not realizing that. I should have known.
I wouldn't have unless a friend of mine pointed it out. But I probably think that he gets his info from these Easter egg videos as well, perhaps. Yeah. That's what I was going to mention as well, because I've decided not to watch those anymore because they're involved in this whole MCU big saga thing. They're gonna spoil accidentally some things that I didn't know about, like other, like the Deadpool film, for example, or other parts of the MCU. I'm like, oh no, I didn't want to know that. But so, I mean, I'm just gonna watch the episodes from now on for the rest of this series and sort of see what I see. I'll probably watch every episode twice, because the first time I was just like, oh my god, it's great, and the second time I watch it, I'll be like, oh yeah, oh yeah. Oh, I didn't catch it the first time. Oh, look at that in the background, kind of thing. And then I'll get the Easter eggs that I know that'll feel more important to me. Because if I watch somebody else pointing out the Easter eggs, I'm gonna be like, oh, cool, okay. I don't know who that is, but okay, cool. You know. So anyway, that's my rave. I love it. So every single bit of all these episodes, I do feel like the Jean Grey one had a lot of stuff in it, but I thought it was all right. Like, it was a lot of detail and story that was kind of packed into one, and I don't know if it really gave all the characters the sort of the story. Like if I'd never heard of Madeline Pryor or this Goblin Queen, which to be fair, I haven't heard of the Goblin Queen character. And I was like, oh, okay, she's okay, fine. And but then again, it's a cartoon. So it was like, it fit well within that. Fit well within those parameters.
Shall I go now? Is that enough? Yes.
Yes, it's still a 10 for me. So let me pose you the question, Nicholas. Is X-Men 97 still a 10?
Oh, goodness, I wasn't prepared for this question.
Tell me what you think.
Honestly. I don't think it's a 10.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, okay.
Because, so I feel like you're comparing...
Cancelled, deleted, blocked, go away.
You're episode's comparing over. It to the animated series, and it's way better than the animated series. Whereas I'm kind of comparing it to Justice League, I think is the best kind of version, like alternative to it, which came out in the 2000s and in my opinion, Avatar and Justice League are perfect 10s in terms of cartoons, in terms of animation.
Okay.
And the big thing is, obviously they're 20 years old. They had time. They had time to let these characters and storylines expand a bit. And this feels way too rushed.
Okay.
I love what they're doing. The story's great. The throwbacks are great. The actors are great. It's brilliant. I love it. It is way too rushed. Yeah. I was so looking forward to the Madeline Pryor reveal. As I said, that's the main thing I was interested for this series. They did so much in one 30-minute episode. They did.
Was it 13? I felt like it was a good half an hour, maybe.
30.
Oh, I think it's 13.
30.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
30-minute episode. And I know the reason, you know, I know it's we live in a streaming world and you get 10 episodes. I don't even know if it's 10. Is it 8?
I think it's 8.
8 episodes for a season. You know, Disney weren't going to fork out for any more.
Or 9, maybe, actually.
I don't know if they could have imagined the positive response that it's got. So I know they had a shorter season, so they didn't have as much time. And they wanted to do lots of interesting things with these characters just in case they didn't get another chance to do it.
Yeah,
but
yeah, that's a good point.
It's too quick. One episode, like the original in the animated series, the Phoenix Saga, is two sets of 5 episodes, 10 episodes.
I think one of them
story.
Is 7 episodes. But I could
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
On a 90s network syndicated cartoon.
Yeah.
That's so much faith to like let the story run and even then that was kind of rushed because that story goes on for years, but Madeline's story up to an Inferno and everything in one episode.
Yeah.
And Cable, like the introduction of Nathan and the techno-organic virus and sending him to all in one episode.
Yeah, I did think of that as well.
It's too fast. And I know that's not their fault. It's Disney's fault. And that's upsetting me because they can't do that again. Like they can't
You mean they can't do that story again?
Exactly. Like yeah. And same with Life Death, you know, they did that as a tail end of a Jubilee episode. Mm-hmm. Like, why couldn't that have been an entire episode of Storm and Forge having sex in the outback, wandering around, falling in love, riding horses, her doing stuff that she didn't think she could, all this kind of stuff.
It was
years. She was like 10 years of comics where she didn't have powers. And this was...
Was it really?
It's so long. And that's kind of how I knew Storm was without powers because I read all the classic ones where she'd been depowered. Like that one is where she lost her powers and that was my second comic. Mm-hmm. But I understand it, but at the same time, I'm frustrated. It's disappointing that we didn't have... Because they would have like, oh, God. If they'd done an Avatar The Last Airbender and been like, right, we've got 20 episodes and we're going to do this. Oh, the Easter eggs they would have done, the things they would have set up here and they would have revealed... Oh, it would have been... I don't know.
Are you talking about the live-action remake?
Jeez. No, I'm not talking about the live action remake, and you know damn well
not
I'm
the
not.
Film, but I mean like the TV.
No, I'm not talking about that either.
But those.
I'm talking about animated shows.
Yes, but that show was 3 seasons, and each one was like 20 episodes long.
Yeah.
So what are you talking about?
They had lots of time. That's what I'm talking about. They had loads of time to do stuff with those characters. This is 10, 8 episodes. If they'd had
9, I think it's 9.
The same as Anyway, that's the reason it can't be a 10 is because, and I feel like. Everyone feels that. It feels like that was a lot in
not everyone,
the Madeline episode.
Speak for yourself.
That's a lot. You just said there's a lot in that episode.
Yeah. I did. There was one moment, or a couple moments in the life death one where he's like, "I love you," and I'm like, "What? Where did the
already?"
Oh, I guess I had to sort of make up the story in my head, like, "Oh, time has passed that they were vaping together." That wasn't really clear. So yeah,
but you could have done that.
Yeah. How much of it do you think is Disney's fault? How much of it do you think is the fault of the world that we live in at the moment, where everything is streaming? If you're not doing something constantly on the screen, because people are going to be watching it, they're going to be second screening with their phone or whatever. People who make shows for Netflix are told to dumb it down because people aren't going to be paying attention. And so is that kind of, or maybe it's like a combination, because Disney plays its part in this, 20 episodes.
Yeah. It has the resources to do that. Yeah. And it could make,
does it want to spend, does it want to pay salaries for all those animators for 20 episodes?
It doesn't want to pay anyone's salaries. I'm pretty sure Bob doesn't want to pay anybody's salary, but that's my point. It was a chance to kind of buck the trend and a little bit, but anyway.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
that's my gripe with it. I don't want to seem too negative. It is one and two was such a huge thing. And then I was so excited for three, and it fell a little flat for me because expectations were high and it was very rushed, but that was kind of going to happen anyway.
Let's talk about different episodes then. So let's focus on the Jean and Madeline Pryor thing first, because, because of what you have said, like, I've expected this to come out as, Madeline Pryor, but I felt like if it fell flat on anything, it was because it was trying to put in all those things that were meant to mean something to people who have read the comics. And because I haven't, I'm like, when she says I'm the Goblin Queen, I'm like, oh, okay, fine. Or when she says, call me Madeline Pryor, I'm like, where did that name come from? Any multiple things where, they just do things. And I'm like, how, why, where does that come from?
It was weird. They didn't need to put Goblin Queen in, because the reason she's the Goblin Queen is because she makes a deal with demons. So like the queen of the goblins.
Yeah. Okay.
They didn't. Well, then they could have called her Madeline. They used Inferno. They said they'll fill my Inferno. I feel like that's a good enough reference, because that's when she turns into the Goblin Queen.
Okay. Well, then that's a good example of a point where they just put the name in to make fans of the comic book say, oh, Goblin Queen.
Which,
you've got the Funko Pop there.
Goblin Queen, yeah!
Is she like, what's she doing with her other hand there? She's like this. I got the baby here, like, fuck you, otherwise.
It's one finger. I wish it was two, but that's...
Well, it looks like two fingers.
That's her thumb.
She's doing this. She's like, I'm going to give you this much.
It's probably doing this or something like that. Come here. Finger blasting someone.
I would. I mean, if I were her.
Wouldn't we? I would too. I would too. Are you Team Jean or Team Maddie?
I don't know now. The thing is, like, it does set up a really good mystery. Like, how long has she been Madeline?
I love that so much that they didn't answer that. Oh, I love it. And that everyone's going nuts, like, right, this is clearly when they switched. No. This is when they switched.
The fact it's a continuation of the original series. It's like, you could have...
Everyone's going back and being like, I think it was then. No, it was when it was the Phoenix. I'm like, that's fun. I don't know. I love that.
I'm happy not knowing.
Yeah, me too. I think that makes it more interesting and more messy because they both have the memories. It's not like in the comics, they were totally separate people. And
why do they...
She never thought she was Jean.
Why do they both have memories?
Because they're telepaths, and they went, blah, 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 blah. Which is also, this is sex. This is how I do it anyway.
That's why you're single, Nicholas.
Oh, tell me about it. In the comics, when Madeline dies, Jean's in her mind, and she's like, I'm going to take you with me. And so their memories kind of merge and that sort of stuff. So at the end of it, Jean has Madeline's memories. So it's kind of like also being... faithful to the comics,
okay,
but at the same time they're psychic, and then we don't know who's who.
I mean, if you just said they're psychic, it's fine, they share memories. I'm like, oh,
true. Yeah, in the cartoon, psychic.
Yep. Okay, fine. Yeah. And because I haven't seen the Phoenix episodes, I mean, I probably watched a couple when I was like 9 or 10, but
that's okay.
She doesn't die. Jean Grey doesn't die like she does in the comics.
Spoiler alert. It's also nice because it it's the Madeline Pryor story, but it also kind of does a similar thing to, that's what the Phoenix is. Mm. Phoenix is originally written, it was Jean Grey turning into the Phoenix, but they retconned it that, oh, it was a duplicate of her and it thought it was her the whole time and they didn't know. So it's kind of playing that story.
Wait a second. Wait.
Oh, sorry. No, we're going to do the recap later. No, we're not talking about Phoenix now. It's way too much.
That's a quick question. Quick question.
You sure can.
Who is the Phoenix? Was that Jean or Madeline then? That it was retconned to be. The retcon was that Madeline was...
The retcon was that it was a cosmic being that took Jean's form and put Jean in stasis while she healed.
Oh, yeah.
And if this is going to ruin the I don't want to, because we're going to do a read through.
So Madeline had nothing to do with it when the Phoenix was around.
When the Phoenix died, it was like, all right, I'll give this little bit back to Jean. Jean said, no, fuck you. I hate you. And so then it went to find, it found Madeline because she's the same genetics and woke her up. And if it hadn't been for the Phoenix, Madeline might not have ever woken up. You don't need to worry about it.
That
it's a deep cut comic book thing. It worked well at the time. In the 80s, it seemed wonderful. And we were like, oh my God, that makes so much sense. Oh my God, I understand it now.
It sounds very, very soap opera.
Yeah.
Especially when you're getting it bit by bit, like when you're getting the story. And it's the same as like TV shows when we were growing up, which you don't get nowadays because you can watch all 8 episodes at once. But like when you get one bit of information, then you have to wait a week for the next bit of information. You're making theories like, oh, what if? Oh, there's that one before. That character, blah, blah, blah. And you don't get that.
In the comics, you have to wait a month until the next issue came out.
Fuck that.
Fucking hell. Can you believe that?
I wonder I don't read comics.
So anyway, back to the show, not the comic. Let's focus on that.
So there's actually a funny thing in the Motendo episode when Mojo is like...
No, we're talking about Madeline Pryor.
I know, but just a quick reference about Gene and Scott, where he's like, you're the star because you appeal to the youths, whatever. Don't, you know, go to the other shows like Who's the Boss and Family something and Scott versus Gene divorce court. I was like, oh.
Did it?
Yeah. He was like, as a fake show. And I was like, oh, that's funny. I giggled.
Lol. Anyway, I wonder if they will do.
And because they weren't really in that episode at all.
It's great.
Okay, so
it was too soon. It would have been too soon. I'm still Team Maddie. I was like, and they replaced her in the music. Ugh. They swapped the jeans round. Because in the first two, she had her hair down because it was Madeline. And now in episode 4, she's got a ponytail because it's Jean. I'm like, too soon. Too soon, guys. I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
I didn't notice that, but I did notice that Storm was missing. Apparently she's missing in episode 3's intro as well, but I missed that. But
I think so, yeah.
I love how they're doing it. Okay, like a friend of mine said as well, this is the only show or the first show in a long time where I sit and I'll watch the opening credits every single time. Like, I don't want to skip intro.
But also,
fuck that. I want to watch it.
Every time I think I'm going to get bored of that music coming up or not like the new version of it. Because you're like, oh, the old one was better.
Yeah.
Every time that comes in, I'm like, oh, let's fucking go.
Once you see the Marvel animation logo coming up, it's like,
come on. Rogue flying through space. I'm like, fucking come on, girl.
On the Blackbird.
It's so good. Yeah. Fucking shit. Yeah. Love it.
Love it.
So it is great, but I wish they'd had 20 episodes instead of
me too. I mean, why not? I don't know. What are they thinking? Like, are they, you know what? The first show, every Disney Plus/Marvel TV show has been maximum like 10 episodes. And then when the Daredevil Born Again was going to be the first one that had like 18 or something, particular people were like, oh, are they going to be able to handle that? But then here we are talking about a half an hour show that could have easily been 20 episodes.
I think Marvel Disney's streaming stuff has got the format wrong for pretty much every show. Every single show, we've felt that the format's wrong, like how it's a film chopped up into bits or that sort of stuff. Which one did they get right?
WandaVision.
I know. But still, it was only 20 minutes and had like 14 minutes of trailers or credits at the end.
Yeah. I mean, that was really weird. I mean, they did try to make... The thing is, I think WandaVision...
And they only did 9 and they should have at least done 10, but that was a pandemic.
Whatever. I mean, I'm okay with that. But like WandaVision was
more... No, that was a rushed ending as well. We're not getting into that. We're talking about X-Men 97.
Fine, yeah. But like that was
people who are still here.
Mini movies, almost like... Like WandaVision was like it was so distinct every single episode. If I had to pick out one of the seasons so far that I kind of felt like a TV show, I would say Moon Knight, because that had a story. It was self-contained. Every episode was like a little bit different. It was a little bit further along in the story. And I think that one was only six episodes, but also you got like, it didn't feel like a film because there was too much going on. There was like the gods and the duality, and like you had the Scarlet Women as well. I don't know, it's been a while, but
even Echo, that was good.
Yeah, you know what? I'd say Echo was, that didn't feel like it was a film chopped up.
Yeah.
But I also felt like it could have done more as well. But anyway.
It felt like, what's the point? Anyway. So
X-Men 97. Anything you want to say about the Jean episode? Anything else?
So Jean shows up and faints straight away. We know that's the real Jean.
Yeah, we do.
She shows up at the door of faints and that sort of stuff. I was right about everything. So yay.
What do you mean? Even them resolving it in one episode, that was correct as well. Well done.
Yeah. That it would feel too rushed, that it was her all along, and that it was Jean when she was psychically reached out,
yeah,
who was in her mind. There's someone else in here. It was Jean in her mind, Jean, all that kind, yeah, of stuff, which is a shame because, oh, I love all that kind of shit.
Still no sand person, though. I don't know who that is. Did you go back and like watch that?
I feel like that was just Master Mold.
Go back. Can we get clips of the show? Can we like, are we allowed to do that, sure, as like reviewers? It's fair use policy.
Whatever.
For like,
whatever.
There's a clip in, yeah. Maybe if I figure how to, if you tell me how to do it, I'll find it. Like, there's a clip of the sort of sandy type monsters. Is, I'm sorry, not again. Something like that.
Okay.
And I did not see that on any of these Easter egg breakdown videos. No one mentioned it.
I think you're making it up. So,
I look forward to proving you wrong, bitch.
Hank McCoy does some tests because he does science, because that's what Hank does. And he's like, oh, hey, everybody. And rather than talking to you in private that your life is completely upheaved,
right?
I'm just going to blurt it out. It's like, oh, you're not real.
You're not real.
She's the
clone.
Real Jean. And then everyone immediately is like, well, then fuck you. Get rid of her.
Do we think Hank is a bit autistic, maybe?
I think he's a like, fucking idiot in this. He's
like,
such
oh,
a dick.
It's just science. Everyone's okay with science. You're a clone. Why is everyone looking at me funny? It's the truth.
That's true. That's a good thing. Yeah, he's probably a little bit Big Bang Theory, isn't he?
Yeah.
Scott holding her child. It's like, oh, I don't. It's like, fuck you. Fuck everybody.
Yeah.
For not thinking about this person. If they are a clone, you've still known them for, what, a year? She's had a child. She's fought by your side. And what she's going through, mm-hmm, I know it's a cartoon, mm-hmm, but still, like, fuck you. Not a single one. But she does say, cuttingly, Storm would have believed me.
Yeah.
I think she would. Storm would 100% have defended her.
Yeah.
She would have said, it doesn't
whoever
matter
this person,
whether she's Jean or not.
Yeah.
She is my sister. I've known her for a year or whatever.
Whoever this person
she would have
is
defended
genetically,
her.
It doesn't,
whoever
it
is, she is my friend and my sister.
Experience we have together, yeah.
Whether we have two or not. So that made me sad, but that's also kind of like a quintessential part of Madeline's character is that everyone ditches her, mm-hmm, and she's very insecure about
that. That was harsh when Cyclops did that. There was, he
holding the baby.
Anything.
I'm like, fuck
and
you,
he's like,
piece of shit.
She was like, you can support me, right, Scott? And he just can't say anything. I'm like, what a dick.
You suck.
We liked
you
him
suck.
In the first two episodes. You're like, yeah, good for you, Cyclops. And now we're like, what?
No. Quick, that was the shortest thing ever.
You were wrong about something though. You thought that because I said it was a it looked like a what the fuck kind of moment when Jean shows up, Madeline.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
You were like, no, that's
she
a,
knew.
Oh shit.
She knew. No, she was a what the fuck.
But that then the fun. Gem thing that okay, so the whole concept of Madeline Pryor in this episode in this series is that she's just a genetic copy of Jean. Which Mr. Mm-hmm. Sinister got while they were trapped in the Savage Land, was it? Or
we don't know.
Wherever it was. But at some point, they were kidnapped by Mr. Sinister. And that's how he got her genetic information. So in terms of that, she's kind of like his pawn, which is activated mm-hmm. with that gem in her forehead. Is that in the comics? That's just a thing that, you know, okay. So that kind of worked for me. I was like, okay, I get it. And then,
I think it's great.
And then when...
Yep.
And then when Jean sort of breaks her in a way, like she comes into her own when that gem breaks. Like it's very clear storytelling wise. Like that's how the story works.
It's all, it's good. I love the transformation into the Goblin Queen. Very Sailor Moon. I've seen all the edits. It's great.
make sure you share them. I want to see them. I don't see anything
good.
On TikTok unless you give it, unless you share it to me.
You got to follow the right people.
Share it on Incomplete Geeks on the TikTok at Incomplete Geeks, and then I'll copy it over to the Instagram also at Incomplete Geeks. If you're listening and you are on Instagram or TikTok and or TikTok, then find us, follow us, and like all of our stuff. Thank you.
Yeah, so she turns into the Goblin Queen. She makes people live out memory, like nightmares and stuff, which is really fun. I really enjoy that.
That was cool, yeah.
Which is really fucked up. They're really playing up the whole Rogan Magneto are fucking, which I'm really enjoying that. I'm really enjoying that. And they're also playing up the Morph and Wolverine are fucking. And I'm really enjoying that.
Explain. What?
Well, when Morph goes like looking for him, like Wolverine's in the shower and he's like, do you need a hand?
Oh, yeah.
But there's hard to reach places. It's like, they are fucking.
I forgot about that.
In all sorts of weird ass ways. I'm not going to think about who Morph turns into when they have sex with Wolverine.
You mean whether or not Morph becomes a male or female?
Whether Morph is Jean Grey or not is what
I'm... okay. Because I was going to say...
Which I think would be a violation.
That's kind of weird.
Whereas if Morph just turned into a hot chick.
Yeah.
That's fine. Because if they don't identify particularly one way or another, that doesn't really matter.
I think that's great as well, because Wolverine, who's been around for at least 100 years, he's probably like, whatever.
He's fucked. He's fucked. He's like... He has fucked.
He's like, this
fucking this and that.
He's like, finally, something different.
Whoa, let's see what you could do. Yeah, because Morph can change their... You know what? I'm going to leave.
Morph can change anything on their own body.
And they can change all the different... You know, I'm going to leave it like that.
As long as it's physical. Because, you know, like, when they turn into Psylocke, they've got the katanas as well. Or when they turn into the six-arm lady at one point.
Spiral.
Spiral. As long as it's physical. So, you know.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be fun.
I imagine if you could just change tiny details of your own body.
They can make Nightcrawler's two penises the reality. Yay. That's my fantasy.
Have we seen Nightcrawler yet? I don't think we have.
No, but he'll be in it soon. So I love that. Yeah. I love all the fantasy stuff. I love all the Dante's Inferno shit. It feels a bit rushed, but it's still cool.
I did like it. I didn't quite like the whole descending into like below the mansion. Like maybe it's because I don't really know the extent of her powers. But if it's meant to be similar to Jean Grey, then how can she change reality like that? I thought it was just sort of like telekinetic. This is me being.
You could either think it's all, it's an illusion.
Right.
It could all be a psychic illusion.
Yeah. I suppose.
She does have magical powers as well as psychic powers, but in this we'll just say she's psychic. I assumed it was an illusion. It was just they thought they were descending into the pits of hell and all this stuff was coming alive. No, it's not. They're just seeing things that aren't there. It's all in their heads. That's how I read it. Which is quite fun.
But it was fine because eventually Jean is just like, enough, and like just undoes it all.
Yeah.
I quite like the escalation as well in the way they tell the story about how she's like, that can't be true. I am my own person, whatever. And it like builds and builds and builds. And then Mr. Sinister gets into her head and like, is like telling her, no, this is who you are. At the same time that the other X-Men are like, do we trust her? Oh my gosh, what about the baby? But by then it's, you know, like those escalations are quite parallel. They're quite parallel, and so it's like as soon as they figure out, like, oh, we should go find the baby. That's
too late.
Yeah, it was really good sort of tension ratcheting.
Just too quick, unfortunately.
But then Jean, she's been in the hospital. She's been in like the bed, and she kind of comes to the rescue.
Yeah,
I thought that was good.
That was cute. And then she's like, "Fuck you! I'm taking the baby and leaving."
Wait, what does she do at the end then? Does she take the baby at the end? No, of the... Okay.
Shut up.
So they find...
Okay, so she takes...
jumping ahead of my
right. Calm down. So she leaves with the baby and they're like, how are we going to find her? It's with Sinister. Mm-hmm. How do they know Sinister? How do they figure out it's Sinister?
Morph?
Anyway. Oh, maybe Morph sees Sinister? Anyway, so they realize it's Sinister and then Morph's like...
Because Jean's in her head. Psychic.
Psychic.
But Morph knows where he is.
I know where he is.
Yeah.
So there you go.
There's a nice moment, very briefly, because Magneto's like, all right, he's like, Team A, we're going to make it an action team. What's it called? Action team?
I don't know.
Per action team. And he's like, Scott, me, Morph, and Gambit, or whoever the fourth one is, we're going. And they go find Mr. Sinister's lair, whatever, because Ms. Morph knows where it is. And Magneto puts like a hand on their shoulder and is like as a way of saying, are you okay? Like, we're here. We're you know, you're all right. And it's just no speech is mentioned. And it's just really, really nice. It's just like, yeah, there's that attention to detail again about of these characters and their backstories and how they were going to act around each other. It's like a blink and you miss it kind of moment, but I quite liked it.
Nice.
So they go into Mr. Sinister's mansion. Goblin Queen
is
there.
It's a weird, creepy church, which I love.
Yeah.
She does the little speech in her sexy outfit, which isn't as sexy as the Goblin Queen outfit is in the comics, because that is under boob. It's just like that covering her boob and then everything else there. So you can see under tit. So I'm not surprised they didn't do that in the cartoon. It is very similar to the Black Queen outfit that Jean wore as Phoenix before she went crazy Phoenix.
Black Queen.
Yes.
When was she black? No, never mind. Don't get down.
We'll get into it. We're not going into that.
I was like, that,
so,
that was Celine, right?
Which I think
Celine's Black Queen.
Good.
Never mind.
Good.
Anyway.
Yes, don't worry. So I think that's cool. Again, it feels rushed, but
the thing about the costume is like, you can't do that's. I get annoyed. Like, I get it because it's like mostly male cartoonists drawing these, you know, sexualized women. But like, I don't have boobs. I mean, depending on who you ask. But if you have like a thing that covers just the top of doesn't support, that's not realistic. It doesn't. How is that possible? That's not a thing.
Magic. Psychic.
Psychic. Telekinetic. Telekinesis.
Telekinetic titties.
Yep.
Telekinetic titties.
What superpower would you like? Telekinetic titties.
Telekinetic titties. I wouldn't mind that. Another reference that they do that I really love is when Madeline takes over Morph's mind.
Yeah.
Oh no, like Morph goes to fight and he goes as
multiple. Oh yeah, Ileana. She makes an appearance.
He goes as Ileana, which is great. And then because again it's a sword that they can make. And then when Madeline takes over Morph's brain and like possesses Ileana version, she turns into the Dark Child, which is a great reference because A, I love Ileana, but B, that was the whole point of Inferno. It was Ileana's story and Madeline's. It was the same thing. So it was the same story that was going on, and it was Madeline's descent into evil and Ileana's at the same time. So it was just a little bit in there, and she's my favorite fucking character, and I'm so happy to put her in there. And it was great. He had the horns and everything, and she fought. It was great.
I didn't catch that. And yeah, I do vaguely know Dark Child is. Yeah, fun.
So that was fun. Then what did they do? The Magneto fight was cool. Where he's like trying to kick Madeline's ass. He's like with all the metal shit. And she's like,
oh yeah.
Your magnetic personality, but my telekinetic titties? No.
Your control over the electromagnetic spectrum is impressive, but it's nothing compared to my ability to take control of anything that I want to. Bitch.
I feel like hers is more pointing. Like she says it's magnetic. But my talents are.
I watched it last week. I don't remember.
I know. I haven't rewatched it. I'll rewatch them all at the end when it's leading up to the finale.
Sure.
Cuts his ass to ribbons with the glass because like you can manipulate the metal. I can manipulate everything.
Yeah.
Take that, Magneto. You suck.
Yep.
You don't. I love you, Magneto. That's great.
Every atom has a magnetic charge if you really get down to it, but he's just not that powerful, I suppose. Well, that's the next explanation that I tell myself when he got that superpowered in the Apocalypse film. He basically just ramps up his powers. Like every molecule has an electric charge, whatever.
There's also the Earth's electromagnetic field that exists, and he can use that, of course.
Which is why, yeah, exactly.
People think, he manipulates metals. Like,
not exactly.
Nah. He's an amigo.
And the funny thing, science side fact, I think that when this character was created, I don't think science knew that electricity and magnetism were different. And so they gave him control over like metals and magnetism was the intention. But obviously, if you control magnets, you control electrical currents as well because of when electricity flows in a wire, there's a magnetic field that goes around it kind of thing. I could be wrong, but
yes, I remember elementary school science classes as well. However, in the 60s, they also where you get like a battery and you put it through some copper and you're like, or whatever, that kind of thing, a magnet. In the 60s, at one point, he hypnotized people because of his magnetism. So no, they weren't sticking to the science in the 60s. I wouldn't worry about it. I wouldn't worry about that.
So
I don't know what the other's doing. I don't know what Cyclops and Beast, whoever else is there. I forget what they do. Some sort of fighty shit.
Fight. And they're overpowered by the Goblin Queen. And then Jean senses Scott's in danger. That's what it is. And then she's like, I must help. Beast's like, no, you must recover. And she's like, I'm fine. And just goes into her mind. And there's like a really nice astral plane kind of.
Wait. She's struggling to hold her powers in check. Wolverine is there. He's like, focus on my mind. That much to you. They have that romantic shitty moment. Blah, blah, whatever. Right. I love how they're leaving Wolverine at home. That's great. They didn't even take him on the mission with them. Wolverine, fucking great.
He didn't even say like, just I got this myself.
It's like, he would have left already and I can do that myself. Like, no, they just left him at home.
No.
I love it. But yeah, Logan, so we can have that nice home. Romantic...
That's what
nice romantic moment with Jean. She kind of gets out of it. Then she's like senses Scott's in danger and she gets serious and like, oh, your body is still healing. She's like, no, never mind my body, about my mind. And I love the fact that she puts her hair in the ponytail to be like, look, I'm the 90s Jean. And then she goes astral off to it, which is cool.
Yeah.
The astral fight is awesome. I love an astral fight.
Well, because you can do we love animation because you can do anything with the animation.
Anything.
But if you have animation in an astral plane, it's just like.
So good.
Yeah.
So good.
Well, all the best scenes in even heavily CGI'd Marvel films where they have, scenes where in somebody's mind, like I'm thinking of at the moment is like, is Mysterio just fucking over Peter Parker's mind and that whole sequence is just so bonkers and it's so good because it's still grounded in reality because it's all in his mind kind of thing, or like it's all projections or whatever.
Yeah.
So it was great. But then Jean wins.
I think, well, she wins by reminding Madeline that, because let's remind everyone that Madeline's not just gone crazy bitch because she's in a mood, which, you know what, she is allowed to. I stand by her side.
Yeah, but it wasn't helped.
She is literally possessed by Sinister.
Yeah.
So he is pulling the strings. You know, Morph was possessed by Madeline. Madeline's possessed by Sinister. He kind of pulled her strings and made her not focus on the fact that you have a baby. Which is what Jean reminds
her
of. Which
Jean did not have.
Jean did not have Nathan. Nope, that's Madeline's baby. Mm-hmm. That's your baby and nothing can change, that kind of stuff. So that was... That snapped her out of it.
She's been Madeline for at least 9 months. And it's five since the end of the last series. See, now we're getting down into it. Now we're getting to the weeds. We're like,
I love it. I can't wait.
4 months before that. When did they have sex? Why are we thinking about cartoon characters having sex? So that must have been...
I think about it all the time. Let's talk about it more.
Watch videos like that all the time. If you can timeline the original series, you can go back to the point, like roughly, where this child was conceived. Let's put it medically in that way. Like, you could do... Yeah, I'm not surprised people went down this rabbit trail.
I love it. I'm going to look some more up when we're finished. I can't wait. I want to see some different theories. I've only seen two main ones that come up. Anyway. But meanwhile, Mr. Sinister has put baby Nathan in a test tube pod in an attempt to make him invulnerable.
What was this? Yeah. So, does he know about the future? Does Mr. Sinister know about the future? So we've never heard of this techno-organic virus before, and I know I've seen it mentioned on numerous Wikipedia pages of fictional character biographies, and I'm like, okay, so that's a thing. So the baby gets infected with it, and this is the first time we've ever heard of it, so I have no idea what it is, and I have no idea what it does. Kills
so
mutants? I don't know.
In the comics, it was Apocalypse that infected Cable with the techno-organic virus. I don't recall... As a baby.
Okay.
So this is accurate. Whether it was to make him more powerful or to make him susceptible to that, to Apocalypse or something like that. I feel like in the cartoons, it's so that he could be like physically invulnerable and so that his power wouldn't get, he wouldn't age or that sort of shit.
Yeah.
I guess. Which is fine. But let's not pull at that string.
Fine. But like, I mean, it kind of just comes across as, okay, Scott and Jean, who are the two of the who are two of the most powerful mutants, make a baby, and that baby's going to be super duper like multiplied powerful.
Yeah.
Technical term. But then he wants to just take that baby's power. That's what it seems like, maybe.
See, I know, I don't understand. I'm going to go back and read the X-Factor comics to see if they explain why he did that. Because if it was Apocalypse, sorry, comic book sidestep, skips forward. If it was Apocalypse in the comics, which it was, that infected him, it could have been that Apocalypse did that to prevent him from becoming more powerful than him, than Apocalypse. Nathan. To stop Cable from becoming more, to stop Cable from becoming more powerful than him. Maybe he knew that he would stop him or kill him or that sort of stuff, which would make sense because that is his whole mission, but only because he infected him with that and then went to the future. With the Mr. Sinister thing, I'm just, it's just a, it's, I mean, oh, it's going to make him stronger. It's going to make him stronger. Let's pretend that.
Fine. He, yeah, it's that evil works. Evil scientist kind of motivation. Evil I feel like Mr. Sinister in general is a, maybe it's the point, but he's a really confusing character, or like, I don't understand. I don't understand what his powers are. Is he a mutant? I don't think he's a mutant. He's just a mad scientist kind of thing. But what are his abilities? What are his powers? And on top of that, what are his motivations? Like, what is he actually doing? He's just obsessed. I know he's obsessed with genetics. That's about it.
That's kind of it. He wants to make the superior race, the perfect mutant, that sort of stuff. I think he got his powers from himself, but also Apocalypse in the comics. So he's got, he's immortal kind of thing. I don't know. Something like that.
Okay, so if you don't know either, then I guess...
I lost track. Because there's multiple Sinisters recently, and one is a mutant, and some aren't, and one's a woman. It's confusing. So, anyway.
Mistress Sinister. Ooh.
No, Mother Righteous.
Okay.
Mr. Sinister. Mother Righteous.
Oh, okay.
Yeah?
Mr. and Mother...
The opposite. Mr. and Mrs. Righteous. Sinister Righteous. Anyway.
Anyway.
She was shit. I hated her. She was a shit character.
I don't like her already.
Fuck her. She was shit. I hated her. And they dragged that one on out for fucking months. Anyway.
Anyway.
So the fight's over. Madeline's kind of come back to her senses. And they kick Sinister's ass. Mm-hmm. But baby Nathan is infected with a techno-organic virus.
And they decide that they don't have the resources to heal him or cure
Beast
him.
Beast
doesn't know what it is.
Yeah.
Does Bishop say that he recognized it or something? Or does he know that?
No, I think Madeline just says, but maybe we don't have the technology now, but maybe
this
in Bishop's time they do.
This is why I asked you if Mr. Sinister can travel in the future because, or at least if he knows about it, because somehow that virus kills all the mutants at some point, and somehow they know that. I'm not sure exactly, but it has to do with preventing that.
Or something. Oh no, that's a different thing.
I only got what I saw.
That was That was the other one with Cable. That was a good episode.
Oh.
Anyway.
So.
Which works quite well because rather than having to say, oh, this woman from the future shows up and says, oh, I can take your son 3,000 years into the future.
Which is what happens in the comics.
Which is what happens in the comics, which turns out it's a follower of Rachel. Let's not get into that. So they make it easier and be like, Bishop, who's already here, who's asking when he can go home. It's like, maybe they have something in his time.
Yeah.
Maybe Forge can help him in the future. That, which I think is great.
Which is great because they've been teasing his bracelet. God. Like Beast has been working on his bracelet to send him back home kind of thing.
And so Scott ditches him.
And it's a sacrifice,
Oh, that was saying. Scott's like, I can't abandon this baby, so I'm just going to leave.
Oh, wait, no. Bishop goes with the baby.
No. Before then, Scott saying, I can't do this. I can't leave my child like my dad left me. And so walks out.
I know, right? So I'm going to leave now.
I'm going to leave instead. I can't be part of this. And then
I can't leave like my father did. He was never there.
And then leaves.
I'm leaving.
And then we get Madeline saying goodbye. And it's brilliant. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And it's nice because they get her to be telepathic and she gets to say goodbye because in the comics she's dead.
Oh.
She gets to say a little telepathic goodbye and you'll think of me and try and that sort of stuff.
So we've not seen the last really.
I hope we get something for that, but that was lovely
in the finale, probably.
Yeah, and the Bishop's time thing looks kind of like the Ascani thing. So she says goodbye.
Remember what that is? What are you talking
Nathan
about?
Leaves.
The Ascani.
Don't worry. Don't worry about it.
Fine, okay. But Bishop does leave with the baby.
Yeah.
So he's up in the...
He's not in the credits, either.
Oh, interesting. All right. Well, he was an added bonus anyway. So I was like, okay.
He was. He'll be back. It'll be fine. He'll be back.
Okay.
As will Cable.
So...
Okay.
The next episode.
Well, no, then Madeline...
Oh, sorry, we're not done yet. Okay.
Madeline packs her bag, leaves. Jean's like, oh, you can stay. She's like, we have the same memories. You know I've been thinking about this for a while. Which I think's nice. That's fine.
And she has been wanting to leave, you know?
Yeah, she has. Call me Madeline Pryor, and then she goes. And then Jean walks into Scott's blown-up bedroom, and they just stand awkwardly apart from each other. It's like, are they married now? Do they... We don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know.
We don't know.
Legally, they are, but did she marry him?
Was it the same person? If anything, he's cheated on her unknowingly, well, to be fair. But like,
but he could have. Yeah, exactly. That could have been his wife, or this could have been his wife that he's just had up anyway.
If you have sex with a clone of your spouse, is that cheating?
Well, if you have sex with your spouse's identical twin sibling, that is cheating.
But what if you didn't know? Well, yeah.
It's still cheating.
But if you thought it... Anyway. If you didn't know that your spouse had a twin...
True, then it's unfair, but it's still cheating. You had sex with someone else.
Oh, your birthmark.
And if you're in a monogamous relationship, that must suck for you, but, yeah. You know.
I could imagine, like, with your spouse, like, your birthmark looks different. It's in a different location. Never mind
your
that.
Your hair's not in a ponytail and you don't keep fainting. What's up?
Yeah. You didn't trip over any cords this week.
No, you didn't trip over anything today, Gene. You're competent in battle.
You must be a clone.
You're a clone. Should have known better.
Yeah. The signs were there.
So there we go.
That's a long take on that first episode, but it's...
I know, but it meant a lot to me, and it was a lot.
I was going to say...
Nintendo, let's power through. Go.
Nintendo.
Mojo.
Jubilee. We love Jubilee. I mean...
Jubilee's great in this show. I think it's such a nice evolution. She feels so similar to Jubilee, but she's... Because she's had to, her character is older. She's not this whiny, incompetent... creature anymore.
Yeah.
I think it's... Oh, it's great. And...
She's grown into her own. It was fun to see sort of video game type animations of them fighting.
I fucking love old school video game type animations.
It was like Rise of Jubilee or something was the title. And I was like, I love that. Copyright.
So
Mojo.
Many of the things, like the Sega Genesis cartridge was exactly
and
the same as the game.
Yeah,
was the same as we had back in the day. Mm-hmm. And then the look of the video game was... taken pretty much exclusively from the original arcade game, which is how I first discovered the X-Men, which I think a lot of people did. It's done with such love. Iliana was one of the characters that came up to choose from. I did spot her there.
Was she? That's great.
Only because I'm cute to see her. I wonder how many others were.
I've only seen it once. I didn't get a chance to go back and like pause while watching.
It was just a very standard Mojo kind of bonkers fight.
Yeah.
Jubilee doesn't want to admit that she's getting older and things have to change.
Yeah, which I think is kind of a message to a lot of viewers as well, let's be honest.
To a lot of us.
A lot of us.
Watching it. A lot of us 40-year-olds watching this cartoon.
A lot of us millennials.
You're getting older. Yeah.
I'm still playing.
You're getting older and things.
I paused my video game right over there on that TV to come record this episode. What do you think I'm doing today? Anyway.
Yeah.
So
it's a reminder that some of us need to accept that things change.
So the older Jubilee, who apparently has another name that character is referenced
from the comics. She was in the comics, apparently. I've seen a glimpse of it.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I've never
seen.
I only
know that because from clips. So.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know her. She's got a code name, but I don't know what it is.
It's like Abraxas or something like that.
Something like that. I'll look it up while you chat.
Fine. So what I do like, speaking of Jubilee and her, what she's learning, like this is kind of you don't want to let go of that youth, but you kind of have to, but you don't have to forget about it. So I think that was kind of the message. And it kind of made sense. Like obviously if Mojo is going to make beta characters, whatever, and she's the one who survived, that kind of makes sense. I mean, what does that mean, that she is like a digital version of her? I don't know, but whatever, it makes sense. And the fact is, like, she has these powers and then shows Jubilee how to use those powers. Like, that was cool.
That was cool. I liked her doing like the rollerblading on fireworks and shit like
that. And like the spinny fireworks as well. Like, great.
I can't find it.
You can do that with characters now. It's like, because one of the reasons we love the X-Men so much is having these superpowers, because they just can do these things. But that detail is really fascinating to think about. Like, if Iceman can like make things cold, okay, he can make things cold. He can form ice cubes. Okay, great. He can make a slide. Oh, interesting. He can do this. He can make ice figurines of himself that can move independently, whatever. Like, then you're like, oh, well, fuck. Okay, yeah. Then, you know, it just keeps growing like that. And if you leave Jubilee as a character that she just makes fireworks, she's flat, she's dead, she's boring.
Yeah.
And it's like, now that she can do all these crazy things with these plasmoids, whatever, cool.
Plasmoids, yay.
Is that what I said?
Yeah, plasmoids, that's okay. What they're called, yeah.
I only know that because I watched the end credits as well. They use the word plasmoids. She makes plasmoids, whatever that
means. Oh, from the...
the character with a mouse that's pointer cute. Thing. It was nice. It was cute. Sunspot? I don't know. I still
think Sunspot's a weird choice for this character. The fact that he's the newer, younger than Jubilee when he was introduced decades before.
Oh, really?
He's never been... Yeah, he was introduced in 82, like, as the kid version. It's a weird choice. I don't know. And are his powers that weird and different that they wanted to show a different power set? They just wanted to show a black guy from Brazil, which is also valid? Maybe. Fine.
Is he black or is he just sort of Latin?
That's the thing. And I, no, because I'm the same. Because when people made a stink about the actor in the New Mutants film being played by a white Brazilian, they're like, well, the character's black. And I'm like, is he? I've been reading him for 30 years. Yeah. And you look how he was originally drawn. He's supposed to be black. And then they whitened him up in the 80s, like as you see him get whiter and whiter. Because I just thought he was like a hunky Brazilian guy.
Yeah.
No, he's black Brazilian. That's what he's supposed to be. I'm like, oh my god.
Oh.
They really whitewashed him.
I didn't know that at all.
I didn't know either, and I've been reading him for fucking years, so I apologize for my stupid naivete.
Well.
But yes, he's supposed to be black.
I don't know. So I was gonna say South America as a whole. I'm not sure how it sort of is sort of
no. Nope. See, I didn't know either. Stupid.
You know. Anyway.
Stupid boys.
But so going off of what I was talking about with Jubilee's powers, I don't dislike Sunspot right now, but I just don't like him. I can't get on board with him because I don't know what his powers are. And if he doesn't, I think there's one line where he's sort of like, it's something to do with solar energy. And we're like, okay, so he doesn't know either. Well, let's explore that then. That's what's going to make him interesting.
We know what his powers are.
I don't.
But he absorbs.
You want to tell me?
Sunlight, okay. Solar radiates Sunspot. And became super strong. And that was his superpower. He just goes a fun strong. Color. Well, yeah, he's like crazy strong.
Does he like have like solar blasts or whatever?
He didn't originally. He does now. That took a long time. He was always super strong, but not invulnerable. Whereas Cannonball was invulnerable, but not super strong. And they were on the team together. Cannonball? Do you know Cannonball?
No.
Okay.
I love Cannonball because I've watched videos about Deadpool film and how they made Negasonic Teenage Warhead have the similar
like
powers
Cannibal.
To Cannibal.
Oh, good point.
I never
didn't
heard
think
of Cannibal before that.
Oh, so they were in the same team with Ileana and Wolfsbane and Moonstar.
Okay.
And anyway. It was just super strength at the beginning, but like the plot twist, like anytime he went into at night, he like was running on, he ran out of energy, that sort of stuff.
Oh,
so
okay.
He was solar powered strength.
Then
eventually became blasts and flight as well. But I mean, like, that's fine. It's a bit of a generic superhero power. Where's Kitty?
Where's Kitty?
Why can't we have Kitty Pryde be the young
one? We've not even had like a cameo. Like Morph hasn't turned into Kitty.
No.
Although why would he? Because why would they? Because like you wouldn't be able to do anything with that physicality anyway.
But can Morph change his density the way Martian Manhunter can? That's how Martian Manhunter phases. Anyway. enough DC.
Do people want us to go into this deep, you know, detailed contemplation?
If you'd like us to go into
people's powers,
a deep dive into this, message us and we'll do a TikTok or Instagram live.
Maybe, yeah.
Where we can interact with our listeners and talk about this shit for hours.
We could. When we do a drunk rant about heroes, I will definitely be going into detail about people's powers.
I look forward to it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Anyway. So anyway, Mattendo's done. Life, death, part one.
Oh, okay. So I didn't know what to expect with this because I know it's is it a comic book run? Like, is it a series? Because I was just going into it and be like, I don't know what to expect. Okay, let's watch this.
It was Life, Death, Part 1 was one issue, which is the one that comes just after this one. Right. So when she's lost her powers and Forge literally drags her out of the Mississippi River and takes her home to nurse her back to health, that sort of stuff. And she's like depressive, suicidal, I don't know what to do. So he looks after her for a while, that sort of thing. Then she finds out he made the weapon, mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff. But this feels very similar too. So she doesn't have her powers in the comics for fucking years.
Really?
And at one point when just before they relocate to Australia, she's like, things are getting really shitty serious. I need my powers back. So I'm going to go and speak to Forge, swallow my pride and see if he's had some time to think of stuff.
Right.
They then go get stuck in this alternate reality where it's out in the middle of nowhere and they live there for a year and fall in love and that sort of stuff. This is kind of what this feels like.
Okay.
And that big owl spirit, the adversary, is who does that to them.
Okay, I didn't know if it...
So it's a similar joint storyline callback.
So this adversary, that's like the name of the creature then. Okay. So I'm like...
Yeah.
It's like, did that thing just say it was an adversary or just the adversary? Anyway.
The adversary. It probably says, yeah.
I think great, because I've never heard of this character at all. Or this
being. He was made up because they couldn't use another character because of copyright issues. So Chris Claremont made up this character as Forge's nemesis and that sort of stuff. So
right, okay.
It's a magical, spiritually kind of one and kills every, it's good. It's a good character. Because they could do anything they want with him.
Yeah,
they can make him nuts.
If he's not like...
Kind of like a Shadow King, but for Native American shaman magic. If that doesn't sound too racist.
Okay.
That kind of vibe. I kind of think.
We'll see this character in Echo season 2 then. No, just kidding. You can't group all the Native American cultures together.
You can't. No. Because he is... Danny Moonstar is Cherokee. Warpath is Apache. Mm-hmm. I think Forge is Cherokee as well. Because that's in the 80s. That's all they knew. It was either Cherokee or Apache.
Or Navajo. I guess there's some...
Oh, they didn't know that in the 80s, so they wouldn't have used that.
Not in
mainstream, not in comic book media.
Not comic media.
But
in the X-Files, they use Navajo as, like, mentioned World War II stuff. Anyway, in the end credits, it says Allison Seeley Smith, whatever, voices Storm / the adversary. So she does the voice of the adversary as well.
And God, I love Allison. She's doing such a great job.
Yeah. If you watch it again, I was like, oh, that does, like, she's putting out like, a really darker sort of tone.
When she's trying to, when they think they fixed her and she's trying to call her powers back and she's just, please. It's so good. She's doing such a great job. I love her.
First time when Forge is like, I'm going to have to get your powers back. And then like the next scene is like, okay, step into this chamber. And I was like, oh, that was quick.
Exactly. It feels too rushed. Like, and obviously it's not going to happen.
It didn't work. So that was fine. No. But I was like, oh, that's, he's made a machine that can reverse the radiation, whatever. There's one moment where he says to her, like, I will show you how to ride. And then the next clip is her riding something. I was like, what is she riding? Daddy Forge has got...
Gotta ride that dirt! Sorry.
What's the levels?
Sorry. I would ride that dick.
Some people are listening on headphones.
I apologize. It would clip it. But yes.
Dick.
I would... Oh, yeah. Do it again.
Let me ride that dick.
Yeah. That's such a girly voice.
Who, me? Yes.
Me. Let me ride that dick. Ride that dick, baby. Anyway.
So yeah, that was fun. And it was just like, you know, but I quite like it how like she's showing her.
Because she does ride his dick. Because they fuck a lot. Because she does.
Okay.
Can you imagine Storm?
I mean, you can show on this animated show, you can show Rogue and Magneto kissing or like in that whatever embrace they had. Even though it was like a visionary, whatever. Like Forge and Storm don't even kiss. Like I don't know how much contact there is.
I love you. It's like, really? Well,
yeah, exactly. I was like, you've been there for like a day? Anyway.
Yeah.
Rush, fine, I get it. But we have Life, Death, Part 2 in 2 weeks. So,
what happened right at the end?
The adversary, okay, so she kind of runs off when she, okay, so she finds out that, well, he tells her that he actually helped create the collars. Not yeah. directly, but not that directly. Was enough for her to be like, fuck you. I can't.
You should know better.
You lied to me, yeah. kind of thing. Fair enough. Like, he's got a steep hill to climb if he's going to, you know, front of,
yeah.
get that trust back. But then she runs off with a horse, kind of falls off a cliff or something, but like it falls into some sort of weird head trippy kind of thing, and then lands through the roof of Forge's cabin again, or shack yeah. or whatever. And then he's like, oh my gosh, how are you? Are you okay? And then she's like, how did I get here? And then the bird shows up, bites him in the shoulder, and you have this lingering yeah. shot, like just a split second, like split second longer than is comfortable, of this like ooze or whatever, like seep, like uh-huh. this sort of poison or something seeping into his blood, I suppose, or into his body. And then goes after Storm, and they're outside again suddenly, and there's this owl thing wraps her its wings around her and is like, I'm gonna feast on your misery, basically. And I was like,
and then it cuts.
That's interesting. Yeah. And then it cuts, like, something like, the line is something like, I feed on misery and I won't waste this morsel, or something like that. I don't know. I miss voice acting. I feed on misery and you are a delectable dish, or something like that. I don't know. It wasn't that. But yeah.
That's good.
And then that's very good. Cut to black. And I was like, oh, that's not, I didn't know what to expect, but I liked it.
Well, the thing is, I kind of expected.
Title of my sex tape.
I know, right?
That's what that dude.
I was expecting all of that. Now I don't really know what to expect with Life Death Part 2. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they're going to go with. But so that's fine.
You've read the whole story. You know how it ends.
Well, it depends. But I don't know what route they're going to take. Because this is kind of not really how it goes.
So you're there for the journey, baby.
Yeah, which is fun. Like, are they going to give Storm her powers back? I don't think they should. I think they should make it
last a bit longer.
Make her be everything else a is human rushed, next
so
week.
Maybe
you I know. They probably will.
So what is next week is like it's called Remember It. Is this a completely separate, or is this a Forge? Someone mentioned that it'd be a Forge flashback, maybe.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
Gene and I don't Scott? I don't know.
I thought it was like a flashback to the animated series to kind of like go back and forth. Like
a clip show.
Previously. A clip show, but not because they can't just use the old clips because that would look fucking hideous.
No, but
I don't know.
A lot of the things, one other thing I mentioned and saw in one of these Easter egg videos is that they are just updating the old animation. So in the Mojo episode where he's like showing Jubilee clips of the old fights, those are actual clips of the old episodes where they're fighting, but the animation has been updated, but like the actions are the same kind of thing. And I was like, okay, fine.
God, I don't want it to be just a clip show. That would be shit. But
also, if it was a clip show, that would be a terrible episode title. And remember, like, here's what we did before.
No. Remember, I don't know what it would be a reference to. Or Morph trying to get their memory back because they lost a big... I don't know.
Mm. Oh, maybe.
Let's find out.
Can't wait. If you have any theories, dear listener, please let us know. We love speculation. We love theories. Don't spoil anything because I'm annoyed about that. But if you have any... If you want to communicate anything with us...
How can they spoil it?
Not you.
How can they spoil it?
No, don't spoil MCU stuff because don't let me tell you what I was spoiled on.
Yeah.
So basically, skip ahead like 30 seconds if you don't want to hear the spoiler about Deadpool. I didn't know that it's been practically confirmed that Cassandra Nova is going to be the villain in Deadpool.
Yeah.
And I was like, I didn't need to know that. Like, okay,
I would have lost my shit. I would have lost my mind. A bald woman shows up. I would have lost my mind. But yeah, I've seen it all over the place.
There's like one shot in the trailer of a bald person. You see them from the back, but you don't know it's a woman.
You think it's Professor X, but it's going to, I would have so.
I don't know anything.
I would have so thought.
They're not the only two bald characters. Anyway.
But I've seen the casting and all that, people talking about it.
Yeah,
the
casting's one thing as well. I know. But you don't have to know what the character they're playing. Anyway, so don't spoil anything, but if you have any speculation, ideas, theories, did we miss any important things in these two episodes? Let us know. Email us at incompletegeekspodcast@gmail.com. We mentioned the our socials before, but we'll say it again. TikTok, Instagram @incompletegeeks. Give us a like while you're there. Follow us and like this episode as well, because I like you.
Oh, I like you too.
Didn't know I was going after that. But yeah, so we do miss things and it happens. We love watching stuff like this. We love talking about it. But we do get some things wrong sometimes and we're sorry because we're not complete geeks.
But we are working on it.
We are. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye. Don't.